As we prepare to open God's Word together, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had to be ministered to by our young people. We thank you for those who are leading our pathfinders. We ask that you will continue to guide and to bless them. Lord, this morning, as we open your Word, we ask that you would speak to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So our song that our Pathfinder so beautifully displayed up here was in essence talking about the attacks of the world and how to handle them. I thought we'd think a little bit this morning about what to do when the world attacks. Have any of you ever been in an argument? Are you human? All right. So we've all been in those situations. We find ourselves face to face with someone, and we find that we are not in agreement. And so the discussion begins. And what begins as a discussion often turns into a battle, no, not so much over that issue, but a personal battle between you and your opponent. And usually, the results aren't very pleasant. Have you ever had someone tell you that you weren't worth anything? That's hard to handle. It's rough when you encounter somebody and they say in one way or another, you're not worthwhile, you're not performing well enough. You are not a worthwhile individual. And then there's those times when you're standing there, whether it be at home or somewhere else, and someone says something to someone that you really care about, and they begin to attack. And it's not easy to handle when the world attacks. And then there are those times that we've all faced when we find ourselves attacking, guess who? Ourselves. And we hear ourselves say to ourselves, you're not a worthwhile individual. What do we do when the world attacks? Because you see, the enemy of souls is out there. And he's doing everything that he can to make sure that we get attacked in every way possible, trying to have us come to the conclusion that we are not worthwhile individuals. As I pondered this subject, I thought about a very, very short story that we find in the book of Jude. Our children's story talked about the story of Moses. This is another story in the life of Moses, or perhaps more accurately, a debate over the life of Moses. And here's the story in Jude chapter 1, verse 9. There's just one chapter there. It says, in his quarrel with the devil, when they argued about who would have the body of Moses, Michael did not dare condemn the devil with insulting words, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So here's this fascinating snapshot where clearly Moses died and was buried. Scripture tells us that. But at some point in time, when we are not clearly told, God decided that it was time to have a special resurrection. And so Michael comes down And here we have this face-off. There are three people in this story. There is Michael the archangel. There is the devil. And there is Moses. Two living beings. And Moses, who is about to be resurrected. And we see this story. Here the devil is. And he is standing there defending his turf. And I can only imagine what the devil started saying. Repeating every bad thing that Moses had ever done. He should know. He's the one that put him up to it. And the devil is just leveling this attack after attack after attack after attack. I'm looking forward someday to seeing the video of this one. As Michael stands there, and the devil is giving his tirade. And once the devil finishes his attack, it's fascinating to me to hear the response of Michael. It's simple, it's brief, and it's direct. He simply says, "The Lord rebuke you." That's all. End of argument. The Lord rebuke you. And so we have an example, a heaven-born example of what to do when we are attacked. But I'd like for us to look a little bit more at this story. And for all you pathfinders here and the rest of you, we have a biblical mystery that we need to solve. And the question is, who is Michael, the archangel? Because you see, the story we have just read presents some very interesting things. Because in the book of Jude, it says Michael the archangel did not dare or did not presume to level an accusing accusation against the devil. So he's standing there and he's saying, "I'm not going to even try to get into a battle of words with the devil." He simply points upward and says, "The Lord rebuke you." So we need to put a few pieces together to find out who Michael the archangel is. So what's our first clue? The word Michael means who is like God. So if you have a piece of paper, can write these clues down. Number one, the name Michael. Who is like God? The archangel. This word is split apart into two sections. The word arch means chief or leader. The name angel in Scripture can either mean angel or messenger. So by the name Michael the archangel, we find one who is like God, who is the chief angel, the leader, the primary messenger to earth. Now let's look at our texts. What texts tell us about Michael the archangel? Number one. Daniel 10:13 is the first time we find Michael. It says, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." So an angel is talking to Daniel. And he says, "Michael, one of the chief princes." Let's go on to our next text, Daniel 10:21. He adds something here. "I show you what is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael." And how is he identified? "Your prince." So one of the chief princes comes to Michael, your prince. Our next text in Daniel 12:1, at that time Michael shall stand up. And how is he described? The great prince, which stands for the children of your people. So the picture is unfolding. Michael is now identified as the great prince, the one who stands up for the children of God. Scripture goes on, the text we've been looking at, where here we find that Michael is identified as the one who was there at the resurrection of Moses. And so Michael is a chief key character, and he is there when a resurrection happens, which is fascinating to see. If we were to read Jude chapter 1, verse 9 in another version, it says, Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring against him a railing accusation. So we also have Michael identified as the archangel, heaven's chief messenger, the leader of the angels. And now we go on to Revelation chapter 12, and we find that there was a battle in heaven. And what role did Michael play? It says, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And the result of the battle was that Satan was cast out of heaven. Michael, the great prince, the archangel, the chief messenger of heaven, is the one we've seen standing, refusing to get into a battle of words. Now let's take a look at another clue here. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Remember, Michael's there when resurrections happen. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of what? An archangel. The archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, what will happen to them? They will rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of what? The archangel. Now, if we could identify exactly whose voice raises the dead, then we could put another piece of this puzzle together. A major clue as to who this Michael, the archangel, truly is. So whose voice is the voice that raises the dead? John chapter 5. We're looking at verse 26. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of whom? What does this text say? The voice of the Son of God. And they that hear will live. On into the text, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And so whose voice is it? The voice of the archangel, the voice of the primary messenger from heaven. Scripture is clear on this one. As we put the puzzle pieces together, this great prince, heaven's chief messenger to earth, the leader of the angels, the one who raises the dead, the one whose voice calls the dead to life, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Now some people say, wait a minute, he's called an angel. How can the archangel be Jesus? How many of you ever heard of a shepherd? You've heard of a shepherd? Is a shepherd a sheep? No. But the word shepherd literally has sheep in it. It's a sheep herder. An archangel has the word angel in it, but it's the leader of the angels. And the leader of the angels doesn't necessarily have to be an angel himself. And so we have Jesus Christ, heaven's chief messenger. But why is this so important? Why is it important to understand who this is? Because heaven's chief messenger has come to share with us how to fight our battles. If we want to win our battles, we need to win our battles in the same way that Jesus Christ won his battles. By the way, somebody asked me recently, they said, if Jesus is Michael, then why in that dispute with the devil did he say, the Lord rebuke you? Could the Lord be talking about the Lord? There's a text, if you'd like to dig a little deeper, in Matthew 22. Interestingly enough, discussing the identity of Jesus Christ. And notice what it says. Jesus is talking here in Matthew 22. He said to them, how does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. If David called him Lord, how then is he his son? Point of the matter, in this text, the Lord said to my Lord. The word Lord literally means master. And so it makes perfect sense for Jesus Christ, our Lord, standing on this earth as our representative, as our model, to speak of his Father as the Lord and simply say, the Lord rebuke you. So we put the puzzle together. And so we come back to this scene as Jesus stands there and he is debating, quote, end quote, arguing over the body of Moses. And Jesus stands on this earth and he refuses to get into a battle of words with the enemy. Why does he refuse to do that? Why didn't Jesus level an attack on the devil? Could he have done that? Did Jesus have enough ammunition that he could have leveled the devil? He did. But he refused to. Our text even says he didn't dare condemn the devil with insulting words. Why? Because if heaven had used the devil's ammunition, heaven would have lost the war. You see, there's something we need to understand. And that is, God is not interested in leveling attacks. That's not the way God operates. We as human beings tend to relish a good battle because we love to win the argument. But I would suggest to you today that God is not interested in winning arguments. His greatest anticipation is not being proved right. You see, God's heart does not long for a battle. He longs for relationships. God's heart does not relish winning battles. He relishes saving people. He's not looking for chances to win arguments. He wants to win people for his kingdom. God is not happy when anyone loses, but he is happy when his children are happy. And so when God enters into a debate with the devil in this story, he's too interested on what he's about to do to waste time arguing with the devil. And I would suggest to you that we get so busy trying to save people that we decide it's not worth the time in arguing with the devil as well. And so what do we do? What do we do when the devil starts attacking? What do we do when the devil uses other people to level an attack? I would suggest the first principle is don't try to argue. If Jesus, our Lord, the monarch of the universe, refused to get into an argument, then why would we think we could do any better than he does in the process of trying to win? Instead, we need to do what Jesus does. He simply pointed to his Father and basically said, if you want to take this up with God, you're welcome to do that. But I'm not interested in an argument today. I'm too interested in something else. And what was Jesus' focus? He didn't come down on that day to have a battle with the devil. He came down that day to take one of his children home. He was too eager to use his life-giving voice and to say, Moses, it's time for you to wake up from your sleep because it's time for you to go to heaven with me. Today, I have very good news for every one of you. And that is, you are a much loved friend of Jesus. He cares a lot about you. He knows you by name. He knows everything about you, and he loves you with an unfailing love. And it's important to remember that, because while Moses was dead in this quarrel with the devil, we aren't. And it seems that we get caught in the crossfire sometimes as the devil starts trying to level all of his accusations, and we hear them either from others or from ourselves. And we get caught up in the battle. And what we really need to do is learn to listen to the voice of Jesus. Because as all the other elements are trying to attack us, there is one who has a different tactic. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. I don't care what anybody else says to you or about you. What God says is what matters. And what God has said is, you are a much loved child of God. And if that is what God says, you need to believe that. And you need to decide that you are going to believe God over anybody else. Now, Pathfinders, you've done a wonderful job of presenting our worship service today. I have a challenge for you, though. You see, this world needs people who will blaze a different path, a different trail than the majority of this world is covering. And I'm not going to say who, but we hear an awful lot of people on the attack today. An awful lot of people who are accusing each other and cutting each other down and thinking that the way to achieve in this life is to have somebody else lower than they are. But I want you to look at Jesus' example. And I encourage you to choose today to take a different trail. Because we need people. Pathfinders, we need you to lead the way in saying we are going to be people who value every person we meet. We're going to be people who, like Jesus, had as his primary focus helping people to realize that they are loved, that God loves them, and that they're cared about. And by the way, to all the rest of us, our Pathfinders might need a little bit of encouragement in this process. So might I encourage each of us to also set the example, to decide today that we are going to choose to take the route that Jesus Christ chose. As he stood on this earth, he did not presume to get into verbal battles. It wasn't his choice to argue. It was simply his choice to say, "My Father, he is the one that has the last word in this situation. He is the one that loves you." Because you see, as Jesus came down and Moses lay there in his grave, a precious, much loved child of God needed life. And that's why Jesus came. And you, as a much loved child of God, also need life. I need life. And Jesus has come to assure us that he gives life and he gives it abundantly. And so it is my hope and my prayer that each of us today will decide. It's time for us to focus our eyes on Jesus, to turn our eyes on Jesus, look in his wonderful face, hear his words, and believe that we are much loved children of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We thank you for Jesus and his example. Thank you that you have set us free from having to defend ourselves. And instead, we can look to you and know that you are defending us. We are choosing to trust you today. Help us to share this good news with others. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.